Good morning.
Morning.
Isn't it a wonderful day?
Amen.
To worship the Lord. Especially with His people in spirit and truth. Nothing's more beautiful, I don't think. Certainly not this side of heaven. If you're here and visiting with us, we are so grateful that you're here. You delight our hearts by showing interest in spiritual concerns, and we hope that you've been blessed already by being here. And we hope the lesson now will be the blessing that you need as the week opens up before us. God answers the big questions. Somebody goes, well, duh. Of course God does. But we're going to deal with some specific questions, though. And somebody else out there is thinking, yeah, well, Terry, really, they're your answers, aren't they? And my response to that is, no, they're not. I didn't come up with anything. I found this in God's Word. God gave the Bible. I am fully convinced of that. There's no other explanation for it. It's what the Bible itself testifies to. And on the basis of the content of that Word, He gives us the answers that we can all find. And something that's encouraged me is I have found others whom I have not been in touch with at any time. Sometimes separated by many decades, others have spoken the same answers from the same book. So that's very encouraging, and I want to encourage you now with these answers. Well, what questions are we talking about? Well, let's see. Why did God create? Hearing that a lot lately. Did I tell you this a while back? Very interesting symposium type situation, taped and then broadcast on YouTube. And it's speaking of the scientific reality of the creation as it is put forward in the Bible. And I meant every phrase of that. Scientists were saying, this demonstrates that everything's coming together exactly like Genesis said. And there's no real answer to it except that Genesis is true, that sort of thing. And involved in that was a rabbi, as well as, I believe, a Catholic priest, and maybe one other philosopher who had turned from atheism to theism. And the question by the moderator was, what would you tell God if He were here, face to face? Well, what would you tell Him? And the rabbi said that He should not have created. In other words, go before God and say, you really shouldn't have made everything like you did. Needless to say, I was flabbergasted. I was shocked. But that's not the only time I've heard that. Since then, a few times it's come up. Sometimes by young hearts. Why did God create? Well, of course, the only answer you're going to get is from God. So these answers are all important. Let's go to Colossians 1. Verse 13, beginning, talking about the Father. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, or His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him. And that is the Greek. That's a very specific preposition. Through. All things were created through him, and here's that last part. Don't miss it. All things were created through him and for him. That's the answer. That's it. Everything that has been made is made for the Son. Everything that has been made is made for Jesus. Jesus is the agent of creation. He's not the originator of creation. The one we know as God, the Father, is the originator. But he makes it all through Jesus. Because it's all a gift for Jesus. And then to nail it down, John 3:35. Turn there, please. This is all from the New King James. The words of John the Baptist. Start with verse 31. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. Pardon. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father, here it is. The Father loves the Son. And has, notice the tense, has given all things into his hand. I used to think that Jesus got all of heaven and earth because he went to the cross. It was his payment for accomplishing the salvation of humanity. A little too superficial. The text is deeper than that. It was all meant for Jesus anyway. From the beginning, it was meant for him. And here we find why. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. So that's why God created. Interesting thing, if you think it all revolves around you, surprise! It all revolves around Jesus. That's why everything is. Well, who made God? If God made everything, then who made God? Constant refrain, especially from, again, young hearts. So what's the answer? Well, let's see. Turn to Exodus, please. Exodus chapter 3. This is Moses on Sinai, his introduction to the Lord. The Lord sends him into Egypt, and Moses immediately has all kinds of questions. Verse 11. Context. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Verse 12. So he said, "I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Verse 13. Then Moses said to God, "Look, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, New King James, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Now, I am who I am is actually a little less than excellent translation. The Old King James has it better and is more exact according to the Hebrew. Mm-hmm. I am that I am. Or I am because I am. God's name is all involved in His being. And we find that by the next phrase, which is clear in all versions that I know of. Say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. That's it. The point of God is that He exists. Well, why? There is no why. That's why He's God. I am that I am. I exist because I exist. God simply is. Everything else comes from Him. That's the only relevant point of the question. Where did that come from? Creation has the relevance of that. But God, for God, that is not relevant because God simply is. Without beginning, no beginning. And for God, no ending. Truly, the essence of eternality. Creation always has a beginning. That's why nothing created can ever become God. Yeah, I'm going to graduate to Godhood at the right time. No, you're not. You had a beginning. You'll never be God. Somebody maybe think an angel is God. No, angels are created beings. They can never be God. Only God can be God, and He is God by definition. He's God by His own nature, which is eternality. No beginning. Psalm 90, verse 2. Starting with verse 1. Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever You had formed the earth and the world, even, there it is, from everlasting to everlasting, You are. You are God. Isaiah 43. Verse 10, You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Look at it. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. That's it. Deity is understood in the person of God Himself. What makes Him God? No beginning. And there will be no ending. So who made God? No one. That's why He's God. Well, why can I not see God? Fair question. Turn to 1 Timothy 6, 16. Sorry, verse 13. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment, that is, know the doctrine to be taught to the church. That's chapter 1. That you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appeared, which He will manifest in His own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, verse 16, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. The nature of God forbids the eyes of fleshly man to be able to look upon Him. We just can't do it. That's why the righteous shall live by faith, Hebrews 11. We have to deal with what is not seen in terms of heavenly things, in terms of divine things, because our eyes can't stand to look upon God. Exodus 33, back there. Here is after the golden calf incident. Children of Israel demonstrating themselves unfaithful right at the beginning. Moses has to plead for the people. God accepts the plea. And then Moses says, I want to see your glory. And God, in Exodus 33, verse 20, explains how that can be. Actually, verse 19, to start. Then he said, God, the Lord, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. To see the face of God is to see God in His fullness. Human eyes can't stand it. It would destroy us. So God, in His mercy and grace, offers what you could say are emanations, big word, anthropomorphisms, where pictures of God are put forward. And by them we are to understand God. But full experience in the totality of God has to be for another time. It can't be now. Now we must live by faith. So that's why you can't see. You couldn't handle it. Why did God make the devil? Wish He hadn't done that. Okay. A related question, did God make the devil evil? Did God make the devil as the devil? Genesis 1 is helpful here. Genesis 1 deals with the entire scope of creation. Of course, with special focus on the earth and what is created on the earth, including humanity. But it was all done in 6 days, according to Exodus 19. Then God saw everything that He had made, verse 31. And indeed, or behold, it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So angels being made within that tank, generally speaking, within that same time frame, they were all good. God made them good. And therefore, the corruption of the angels, including Satan, has to be something that sprang up within themselves, their own determinations. God did not make them that way at the beginning. And then there's Proverbs 16. Very interesting statement from the Holy Spirit, worthy of our consideration at this point. Go back to the answer to the first question, and it might help us understand what's going on. Everything's being made for Christ. But what about the wicked? Proverbs 16, verse 4. The Lord has made all for Himself. Yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom. Well, the implication, something we can reason through a little bit, the reason for the wicked is not to make them wicked. The reason for the wicked is to allow them the opportunity to be wicked. And then God, by His justice and by His glory, demonstrates the folly of that. Something we have to learn. Something everyone has to learn and will learn ultimately. That brings us into the concept of judgment, which is not specifically the point here, but it helps us get there. Is God the author of everything? Well, yes. What about the wicked? Well, he made the wicked. He just didn't make them wicked. And that's what we need to understand here. Why is there so much evil, wickedness in the world? Why has that happened? A good, quick answer is Ecclesiastes. Let's turn that. Yes, I know some of these answers breed other questions, and I get that. And I guarantee you, if you study your Bible with those questions in mind, you'll find the answers to those questions. Ecclesiastes 7:29. Solomon, by the Holy Spirit, says, "Truly, this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes." So the wickedness of man is not God's fault. He made man to walk upright. He made man to live uprightly. But because man is man, man chooses otherwise. And that gets him in trouble with God. The last part of Ecclesiastes answers that. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it be good or bad. Wonderful summation. And then finally, why did Jesus have to die? Again, young hearts come to this conclusion, or come to this question pretty quickly. Jesus being the best, Jesus being the perfect, Jesus being the righteous one, and the most righteous of all, why did He have to be the one to die? Ephesians 1 is the answer. 7 through 10. In Jesus, in Him, the text says, we have redemption through His blood. We are bought back from our sins, meaning the redemption, by the blood of Jesus, as was eloquently put forward in the class this morning. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us. Richness of that grace that abounds toward us. In all wisdom and prudence. In other words, God didn't just dump it on us. He parcels it out as needed, parcels it out as we can understand it, parcels it out as we can grasp it and choose to use it or not. Having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. Here it is. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He, God, might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. Now, go back to the first question, and you've got the answer to this one. Why did Jesus have to die? Well, remember, it's all made for Christ. If we have to be redeemed back to God, that means that the gift has been messed up. And of course, it was messed up, as was mentioned, by the devil and those who have chosen to follow his ways. But the gift is still valid because Christ still wants it. So then it becomes a matter of redemption, but it must be Christ that redeems it. Because it's all for Him, so He must stay central to it. So all unity of creation is summed up where? In Christ. Can't be any angel. Can't be the Holy Spirit. Although the Holy Spirit is working in concert with all this, it has to be Jesus. It has to be Jesus. And of course, Jesus then needs a human body to be that blood sacrifice, which Hebrews 10 explains is why He came in the flesh and thus became the only begotten Son of God through the womb of Mary. That's found in Luke 1 is the passage. But there's also Leviticus 17, because now the question is, well, why does blood have to do all that? Why is it blood that has that's called on to give redemption from sin? Again, a lot of this was discussed in class this morning. The wages of sin is, this is Romans 6:23, wages of sin is death. Sin brings death. The day, Genesis chapter 2, tree of knowledge of good and evil, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Sin equates to death. Sin brings death. So now, Leviticus 17:11. Verse 10. Whatever a man of the house of Israel or of the stranger who dwells among you, who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Any doctor argue with that? It's a fact, isn't it? And I have given it to you, the blood, upon the altar to make atonement, to create redemption for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. We sin because we're in the flesh. Romans 7. The answer then is the blood of the flesh. To answer the death. The life of blood answers the death of sin. Jesus became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:14. Why? To redeem us from the consequences of our sin. To be the atonement for our sins. It had to be Jesus. Couldn't be anyone else. Had to be the Messiah according to prophecy. Had to be the one for whom everything was made to begin with. So that the unity could remain as God said. Perfect plan. Beautifully put forward. Exquisitely executed. Marvelously presented. In the wonderful Word of God. Other questions? Well, of course. Let me urge you to do this. Turn to God's Word for all your answers. We might do a follow-up sermon to this later on, but I think this presents a good basis for understanding some of the wonderful precociousness that a young heart might have in wanting to know, well, why? I know you told me this, but why this? God has the answer. Beware the temptation when asked a question, especially by a young mind. Beware the temptation to shrug and say, well, some things we just don't know. Some things we just can't answer. That doesn't satisfy a young mind who wants to know why you believe what you believe. Too much of that shrugging. And the young person is going to wonder, well, why are we doing this anyway? What's the point? God's given us much more, usually in consideration. God's given us much more than we have ever realized. But you have to take the time to study. You have to take the time to find out. And you have to believe that it's there. You have to believe it's there. Now, these are the answers I know to give you from these wonderful questions. But you have to believe the answers. I don't think there are better answers than what the Bible has related to us. But you still have to believe it. It's still up to you what you do. I beg that you believe. For not only is there no better answer, but there's no other answer that will bless your soul. Somebody says, oh, I know a Swami who's got all kinds of wonderful answers. Okay, well, that's great for Swami, but he's not going to save your soul. And your soul needs it. my soul needs saved. What can we do to help you find that redemption, salvation for your soul, which will last far beyond anything in this universe? Your soul, which will be ushered into eternity. You want to be ready. And either in repentance and baptism or repentance and prayer as a Christian, how can we help you get ready? Come while we stand.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take